The Department of Health and Human Services Inspector General isn't letting a good disaster go to waste. In a new report, the IG highlighted how HHS and the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services have rebounded since the 2013 website rollout debacle. Ruth Ann Doyle is the Deputy Regional Inspector General for the Department of Health and Human Services Office of Evaluation and Inspections. She tells Executive Editor Jason Miller about the improvements HHS and CMS have made and what other agencies can take from it.
The first half of the report deals with the buildup to the launch on October 1st, 2013. And we chronicle how the poor launch of the website was attributable to many avoidable organizational missteps, not just problems with website technology, although there were certainly significant technological problems as well. And the second half of the report takes the reader from October 1st and the recognition of the breakdown of the website and through the process of CMS improving its not only technology, but also its organization, working more closely with contractors to fix the website, and how this approach led to broader organizational changes for the organization. And then we close the report with what we're calling a call for continued progress. There's still a lot of work needed to improve the federal marketplace and healthcare.gov. And so we call on CMS to continue to employ the lessons learned from healthcare.gov in their continued management.
In many ways, this doesn't happen very often. In many companies, private sector companies, something bad happens and they kind of do an after action report and say, okay, how can we improve ourselves? Is this unusual for you guys or any IG office to do this kind of review, looking at kind of what went wrong and what has changed since then?
Yes. So typically our evaluation shop would look at program outcomes. This is the first time we've done a review like this, but we felt like the highly publicized launch posed a good opportunity for us to look, turn the lens on management itself, on the operating division, and look more closely at how government works and how projects can fail or succeed. It had all of the elements of complicating policy implementation, political context. It was a new program, differing visions for how the program would look, technical complexity, a fixed deadline, uncertainty in funding. And so we felt it was a particularly good example to illustrate challenges and how they can be overcome.
We're going to link to the report on federalnewsradio.com so people can go back and read the great report. I had a chance to look through it several times already. But I'm really focused more on not what happened and why things happened. I think, you know, hindsight is always 20/20. But what I'm interested in is looking forward. What are some organizational cultural changes that have happened in the aftermath? Which ones, you know, do you see having an impact on CMS today based on what they learned and what they changed from the trouble with healthcare.gov?
The report has a number of contributing factors and then 10 what we're calling lessons learned from the experience. I would say, based on where CMS is now, the most important ones, I would select three. The first being a continual assessment and learning process, followed by quick action to change course. One of the big problems with the build up to the first open enrollment period was lack of clear leadership to be able to make decisions and change when things weren't working. They became dependent on the initial path and weren't continually learning and assessing from their experiences to be able to alter that as things deteriorated. The second thing that we found of great interest was what developed after the failed launch in October of 2013 when they were fixing the website. CMS and contractors grouped together and worked more seamlessly than they had before, developing what they called a badgeless culture, wherein the CMS staff and the contractors, you know, there were 55 contractors on this build in one way or another, worked more closely together as a single team without regard for who they were employed by or even what their title was. And then I would say third was a tactic that was also employed after the first open enrollment period was over, and that is a practice of what CMS called ruthless prioritization that better aligned the work efforts with the most important and achievable goals. You know, what happens in implementing policy sometimes is that you have a very ambitious schedule and you move forward to try to meet those objectives, but without a clear recognition of what it takes to implement and the resources that are available. And so that prioritization process allowed CMS to move forward with the most key pieces, and then has caused them to continue to improve the build over the subsequent two enrollment periods.
Each of those are interesting. Let me just go back to the second lessons learned that you highlighted, the badgeless culture. Why do you think it took that long to get to that culture? What did CMS do in your eyes to make that culture change happen?
You know, it's interesting. We asked people, does it take a crisis to improve operations? And the answers were mixed. But I think in part, it was just the desperation of being in a bad place with a highly publicized problem. And so it tore down barriers that might have existed previously in working relationships, divisions that had previously been siloed and communicated poorly, had no choice but to work hand in glove. Something else that people told us we found interesting as well is that there's a little bit of perception of what is good governance going on here, where some CMS staff felt it was more appropriate to keep the contractors at arm's length, to not invite them to internal meetings, for example, because thinking that that wasn't an appropriate contractor government relationship. And so I think that the crisis itself allowed some of those walls just by necessity to break down and build new relationships and a new way of working.
Other agencies can read it, and what can they take from it? You talked about lessons learned that, just from your perspective, what are some things that other agencies could look at this and say, okay, how do I not?
The first seems so obvious, and yet I think it happens time and again in government where it doesn't happen, and that is to assign clear project leadership. So in the case of the marketplaces, the Federal Marketplace Project, depending on who you spoke with in CMS, they thought a different division was in charge, either the technical people or the policy people or maybe the overall CMS administrator. And that it's easy to see how that happens with a big project that's spread across a large bureaucracy, that you would have shared ownership as opposed to a single leader who could make quick decisions and pull together all of the resources into a single vision and mission. And so I think that's certainly applicable across agencies. In the case of the Federal Marketplace, CMS ultimately assigned a marketplace CEO, which was a very unusual structure for CMS. And I think the word is that's worked successfully. The second thing I would say is encouraging staff to identify and communicate problems. I think this is a particular problem in public management, that sometimes responsibility and accountability can be so diffuse that no one thinks that it's their responsibility to raise problems, or if they do, that the problem would be attributed to them. And this issue of avoiding bad news and bad reports and just hoping for the best had a couple of factors. One was that not only did CMS staff not want to communicate when things were going poorly, but they thought if they release something that was not optimal, that they'd have opportunity to fix it later. It was this lack of commitment to a quality delivery. So there wasn't a sense that they needed to raise bad news, because the thought was, well, we'll have time to fix it. It'll ultimately work out. And then another item I would say is probably applicable is better integration of policy and technology. You know, technology is increasingly important to the effectiveness of government programs. And I think that making policy people who are writing the regulations and determining the business requirements aware of the technological complexity and what CMS called an operational awareness will go a long way toward making these tech projects work better and come in on time and at high quality.